Lord, we thank you for just the worship this morning, for the reading of our youth, for the dance, Lord, for just the privilege of gathering in your name to celebrate this Black History Month. We thank you for all that you have done to bring us to this place. I ask that you would just now open our eyes so that we may behold wonderful things from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can be seated. Our text this morning, actually the message, the brief message this morning is titled Living Waters, Living Waters. And our text for this morning is from Psalm 63. You'll turn in your Bibles to Psalm 63. We're going to look at the entire psalm. It's only 11 verses, but Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. Praise the Lord. It's impressive to realize that this psalm, which exalts the Lord with such glowing praise, was written by David during a period of great trial in the wilderness of Judah. It could have been when he was fleeing from King Saul, who was trying to take his life out of jealousy. Or it might have been an occasion when he was fleeing from his own son Absalom, who had created a rebellion and was seeking his own father's life. In both instances, David experienced severe physical and emotional hardship. He was feeling isolated and in danger. But David knew something. David knew something. David had an awareness, and he knew something. And knowledge combined with faith is power. Knowledge without God's wisdom is foolishness. But knowledge combined with faith is power. And David knew and he believed that God was his source. He knew God's love was better than life. And he knew that God could satisfy his soul as with the richest of foods, even though his body was in a dry and weary place where there was no water. He knew that the kind of food that God could deliver was not confined to the kitchen table. He knew that the food that God could deliver was not even confined to physical sustenance. He knew that God could provide something supernatural that was every bit as satisfying as the richest of foods. David knew that. So if you're taking notes, I do have a main idea for you. The living water of the Spirit fills us and flows through us to accomplish God's purposes. The living water of the Spirit fills us and flows through us to accomplish God's purposes. These remarkable and blessed and praiseworthy words of David contain good news and bad news. The bad news is thirst is very unpleasant. That's the reality. As he was in this dry and weary land, it wasn't pleasant. Thirst is one of the most painful things you can experience. And when you finally get to water, you guzzle. And they have to tell you to slow down because you can hurt yourself by drinking too fast. Thirst is not comfortable. Thirst is very unpleasant. But the good news is he knew where it could be satisfied. My soul thirsts for you. Many people seek to quench their soul thirst through various means, relationships. You're my soul and my heart's inspiration, and you fill me up. And relationships. Some people delve into risky behaviors. Some people substance abuse, high achievement. Some people turn it the other way. I'm going to achieve my way to the satisfaction of my soul. Spending. I'm going to spend my way. I'm going to buy my way to soul satisfaction. Some even try religion. I'm going to just immerse myself in religion, and I will find it there. As believers, we get thirsty too. Even as believers, we get thirsty. The difference is, like David, we know where to go to satisfy our thirst. Jesus promised that the one who believed in him would have springs of living water flowing from within. Nothing external can fully quench the thirst of the human soul. That place is reserved for our Creator. I got a phone call from my sister, who usually calls me, and I call her the prophetess, because she usually calls me with an inspiring message. Very insightful, seems to know exactly where I am at all times and is able to speak to that place. Some of the most biggest crisis points in my life, I've gotten a phone call from this sister. She is an angel from above. I got a call from her, though, and she was asking me this time. She wasn't coming with a word. She was looking for one. And she called me up and she said, "Brother Danny, Pastor, you got to help me. I need some perspective on what's going on. I'm feeling the angst of all that's going on. I need you to talk with me about it. I need you to give me some encouragement. I need you to set things straight. Help me to have a focal point. Help me to be able to grasp this. Put it in some context for me." I said, "Well, sister, I'm right in there with you. I am feeling the chaos, just like everybody. I'm feeling the concern. But I know this. I know this. This is what I know. I know that God has a plan, and it's a specific plan. I know that Jesus is building his church. I know that the angst that so many people, and all of us who even know Jesus, I know the angst of that is in God's heart and mind intended to bring people into his kingdom, to bring people to himself. People are going to recognize their need for God more keenly. Sometimes we need some uncontrollable chaos to recognize that we aren't in control. I know that God is building his church through Jesus Christ. And I also know that God is using this tumultuousness to move things into position for his larger purposes. I know that. I've had many samples of this all my life. He has given me many samples in my own personal walk with him, how he has used these little troubles and the bigger troubles and trials and tribulations in my own life to move me to a different place, a place of blessing, a place of riches, a place of substance, a place where I can say, as David says, you've satisfied me as with the richest of foods. So that's what I know. I don't know why it's all happening. I know God did not create all of it. I know God is not the author of chaos, but I know he is the one who can channel chaos. And I know that the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I know that the king's heart is like channels of water in the hands of the Lord, and he directs it wherever he pleases. I know this. I know this because I have seen this in my own life. And it is a small thing. It is a small thing. Is anything too difficult for me, says the Lord? You know, a lot of people and some of us in this audience, and I already said, are feeling what my sister was feeling. But we've been here before. We have been here before. We know what a dry and weary land looks like. And we know what it feels like. We have come over a way that with tears has been watered. But the God of our weary years, the God of our silent tears, the one who has brought us thus far on the way, the one who has by his might led us into the light, he has been faithful. He has been faithful. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The gospel tells us of a storm that arose one night, and it tells us of a Savior who stood and spoke to it. And the winds and the waves obeyed his voice. And the men in the boat said, "Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?" And when the voice of the storm was stilled, he looked at the men in the boat with him and he asked them a question. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? It's a question that he asks of us today. Where is your faith? It's a question that we would do well to ask ourselves. Where is your faith? And I'm not talking about it in a pejorative sense. I'm not slapping you on the hand saying, where's your faith? No, it's more like this. Where is your faith? A question. Where is it? Do you know where it's resting? Where are you placing it? Where are you focusing it? Do you know where your faith is? Like your phone? Where's my faith? Do you know where it is? That's the question. Where's my faith? I'm trying to figure out where it is. Where's your faith? Is it in the wisdom of man? Or is it in the power of God? Let me look and see. Is it in there? Is it in the wisdom of man or is it in the power of God? Is it in my righteousness or is it in Christ's righteousness? Is it in what others say of me? Is it in there? Or is it in what God says of me? Is it in what the evil one says of me? Or is it in what God says of me? It's a question that can be a balm to a restless spirit, a troubled heart, and a worried mind. Where is your faith? I have a personalized mug collection that helps me to focus my faith. I call it my faith-focusing mug collection. And it's got personalized sayings, things that I have thought of, things, verses, and just anything that helps me or has helped me to focus my faith. And this morning, the mug that I pulled out was, it said, "He's doing it." He's doing it. Not he's gonna do it one day. No, he's doing it right now. He's not waiting to do it. He's doing it right now. What is he doing? He's being faithful. He's executing his plan. He's loving me in this place right now. He's not going to love me later when it all turns out. He loves me right now. He's not going to be faithful when it's all fixed. He's faithful right now. He's not going to just do his plan sometime later in some way, somewhere down the road. He's doing it right now. And we are in the midst of it right now. He has a plan, and each one of us is a part of it. Did you know that? Each one of us is a part of what he's doing. As you sit there, you've already been signed up, enlisted, and you've already been commissioned. You're a part of it. You're a part of the body of Christ. You are a part of what he's doing right now. He's doing it. He's doing it right now. Lord, how do you want to deploy me today? As you do your work. See, the important thing is not the size or the scope of our work, but surrendering our hearts to the good works that the Lord has prepared beforehand, the scripture says, for us to walk in. It's not up to us to come up with the plan. He's already got the plan. It's up to us to align ourselves with the plan, to trust him to deploy us in accomplishing the plan. And that may mean starting something, joining something, or just being a light to those who are in your immediate circle. I was so thrilled to be with men and women last Thursday night during our Bible study, and as we were processing through the filter of faith, our faith in Christ, just life, processing it. And then yesterday morning during our men's fellowship with the men who are leaning into their relationship with Christ, just sitting around a table with men who genuinely believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the answer, and are walking with him personally and growing in their relationship with him. That was just great. I took a moment, took a beat, and looked around the table and said, I'm with men. I am with men of God. I am with smart men. I'm sitting here with strong men. I'm sitting here with old men. But they are men of God. They really believe this stuff. They're not faking, they're not playing, they're not pretending, and it's not just when we come together and we eat meat on Saturdays once a month. It is all the time, and then we just come together to share our collective experiences. I felt honored and blessed. John 7, 37 and 39 says this, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." And it tells us what those streams of living water are. It says for that he was speaking, it says, about the Spirit. whom those who believed in him were later to receive. The Spirit inside of us, he turns on the light of God's truth and he brings it to life. He's the one who makes these words more than words. He's the one that makes these words living truth, nurturing to our soul. It's the Holy Spirit whom God has placed in each one of us. The living God living in us. Streams of living water. The living water is the effects of the Spirit who dwells within. The living water is the effects. The living water is not the Spirit himself. The living water are the effects of the Spirit, because that's what flows out of us. Not the Spirit, it's the effects of the Spirit. From his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. By this he meant that's what the Spirit's going to do in you. He's going to cause rivers of living water to flow from you. The Spirit is here and the effects flow out. And that's the living water. It's like smoke from a fire, or like the music from a piano. It's like the breeze that dances through the trees. It's like the fragrance from a blooming flower. It's like the warmth of a glowing hearth. And it's like the light from the rising sun. He turns on the light of God's truth and brings truth to life. It's the fruit of the Spirit filling us up on the inside and flowing from us to the outside. And I regularly praise the Lord for being the qualitative difference. I tell him this all the time. Lord, you are the qualitative difference and you are the distinguishing factor in my life. It's you. You are the distinguishing factor. And you are the qualitative difference, because as a man of God, I am what I am solely because of the effects of your Spirit living inside of me. I am who I am. I am what I am. I think what I think. I want what I want. I enjoy what I enjoy. I love gathering with other men of God, and I'm not bored. I'm delighted. All of that is because of the living water that the Holy Spirit living inside of me releases within me, fills me up, and flows out. God has the plan, y'all. God has the plan, and each one of us is a part of it. Each one of us is a vessel of the living water of the Spirit. So let our prayer be, Lord, keep us. Keep us forever in the path of faith, the path of trust, the path of faith in you. Not just the straight and narrow in terms of how I'm living my life. No, the path is the path of faith. It's a path of trust. It's a path of recognizing who you are in me and trusting you to do you through me. Keep us, lest our feet stray from the places, our God, where we met thee. Lest our hearts, drunk with the wine of the world. You know what the wine of the world is? It's not just doing bad stuff. It's thinking the way the world thinks. It's seeing the way the world sees. It's trusting in what the world trusts in. We have a greater source. David, dry and weary land, you are in this dry and weary land with me, Lord, and your love is better than life. I'm not going to let the world dictate my okayness. I am not going to let the world control the way I feel about my life. Lest our feet stray from the places. Keep us, Lord, forever in the path. The Spirit who gives living water lives in us, and he makes all the difference. Like rivers born in grace, the Spirit's living waters fill us, and through our lives, his purposes flow. And I'm done.